It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
And we welcome you to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, this weekend, we are kicking off a five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. We do it each fall. It's a time to hear about specific issues facing their individual district and the county as a whole. On this weekend's show, we're joined by District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half. Supervisor Half, it's good to see you again.
It's really wonderful to be with you, BJ. Thank you.
Remind everybody, District 4, where does it all cover?
Well, District 4, if you start at the Junction Shopping Center and go up Mono Way, it goes all the way up to Draper Mine Road. And then it goes down Tuolumne Road and all the way to Curtis Creek Ranches, and then down below Lambert Lake Estates, all the way out to Jacksonville Road, Chinese Camp, and on up to Big Oak Flat, Groveland, and then also down to Lake Don Pedro.
Pretty wide area you have to cover.
A lot of ranches.
Mm-hmm. So I like to start by focusing kind of on issues specific to the supervisorial district. So District 4, what are some of the issues or projects right now?
Well, one of the ones I'm most proud of right now is it started with something really awful that happened. 2 4th of Julys ago, Groveland experienced power outages that were just crazy. They couldn't rely on the power, and businesses lost all of their funding, their money that they were going to make because the tourists left. It was hot, and they had no power for 23 out of the 24 hours a day. And so from that, and there were other events before that, so we were we had a situation where we couldn't count on the reliability of power. And this was happening all throughout the county, by the way, but I think the Groveland, the South County, was the worst hit. And so we had meetings, board meetings, one specifically, a big one with PG&E and their regional people, and I wrote letters to the CPUC and PG&E, including their president, and had lots of interim talks after that and more letter writing back and forth. Well, I am pleased to report at this point that as a result of me not letting this go, we are going to, in the fiscal year 25-26, which is next fiscal year, we're going to have some projects that PG&E is going to put on in the Groveland Big Oak Flat area. There'll be between 13 to 16 miles of undergrounding in Pine Mountain Lake in Groveland. And then there's also something called overhead hardening, where the wires are wrapped and they have bigger poles. And that project will be about 9 miles long from Groveland to Big Oak Flat. So we're seeing some results from all of this back and forth negotiating with PG&E. And it, like I said, it started with something really devastating, but I think it's ending on a good note. So they are in the project scoping right now for that to happen.
Yeah, kind of some exciting news. You think that's going to hopefully make a big impact when it comes to preventing future outages?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, if you, let's say you have big winds, you're not going to have toppled poles, because they're either going to be hardened or the power lines are going to be underground. And even snows for undergrounding, or even fires for that matter, won't affect the undergrounding. So this is huge, because I think up until now we've had 3 miles of undergrounding in the county, and it's been to secure the hospital. Yeah, so this is huge. This is huge.
What other issues are happening right now around the Groveland area in your district?
Well, I will say that something that affected the people, the residents also in the Groveland Big Oak Flat area, was the 2020 Mock Fire. And they have been kind of on edge since then. So I'm really happy to announce that this, well, pretty soon here, October 3rd, Thursday, we are going to have an evacuation tabletop exercise there at the Groveland Community Resilience Center from 1 to 5. And our OES coordinator, Dory Beats, will be there. The sheriff, David Vasquez, will be there. And I'm really looking forward to doing this to better prepare the South County residents for the inevitability of when we need to have an evacuation. I think it will set their mind at ease. They know what to do better, and they'll be better prepared.
Yeah, more planning is definitely good during fire season and any time of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, it's happening in District 4, but it's also happening everywhere. So I speak for everybody about this. I want to talk just briefly about Measure Z, but with respect to the Groveland area. You know, our fire folks got a SAFER grant, and that enabled us to put another engine in Groveland. Right now, Groveland has, GCSD has a fire engine, but we've co-located a Cal Fire County engine there, too, to better serve the people up there. And it has another year or so to go before that grant ends. So, you know, I don't know how this election is going to turn out and how people are going to vote for Measure Z, but I just hope that I know the people in the Groveland area really need to have this protection. We've got so much going up the Highway 120 corridor, and they need this help to continue to sustain their town and their area. We just now, I want to say this too. Our board of directors a couple of years ago saw the problem with the sheriff's department where we were losing deputies and we were really, our vacancy rate was very high. And it was so bad that people, our sheriff's department were not coming up on a regular basis, did not any longer have a beat in Groveland. We do now because of what's happened as a result of the board deciding to up the salaries of our law enforcement. And so now we have that. We want to be able to sustain that. So this is also, you know, Measure Z has to do with stabilizing our law enforcement, fire, and roads. And these are all the things that people really care about. So that's going on, and especially in District 4 as well.
Going to take a quick break. We're going to get into some of more of those county issues like Measure Z in just a minute. We're kicking off a five-part series this weekend talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. This first show featuring Supervisor Kathleen Half, who represents District 4. And Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're diving into county issues on this weekend's Motherlode Views, a five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. Today, talking with Kathleen Half, who represents District 4, which is the greater Groveland area, Big Oak Flat, many other surrounding communities. It's a wide district of Tuolumne County. Supervisor Half, you know, you talked a little bit at the end of the first segment about Measure Z, and I know there's been some town hall meetings about the state of the county. I know you've had a couple of those. You know, tell us a little bit about those and kind of the main points that you're bringing up.
Well, there's quite a few main points, and it's kind of hard to, you know, just have a few words about it. The town halls are about our county's financial picture right now and going forward. And as you know, BJ, we have to balance our budget every year, and we do. But there's a problem here that we've been experiencing over the decades where we have a certain amount of revenue that comes in, but the costs keep rising. So right now we're at a place where the revenue growth is between 4% and 5%, but the our average cost of doing business is about 8%. And those are due to all sorts of things, whether it's like state mandates where the state gives us some money to do a program and then slowly or very quickly takes that money away and says, continue doing the program, you're mandated to do this. So that we have that problem. We have, just like everybody else, costs of rising insurance, cost of contracts, cost of actually hiring and keeping competent employees. That's a big deal. We have natural disasters that have taken place in the last couple of years, flooding especially, which is kind of unusual for Tuolumne County, but it's caused major devastation to roads and infrastructure. So all of those things have impacted our budget. We have a $287 million about budget. And of that, only $65 million is discretionary. That's our general fund. That means we can use it for whatever we want to. And the other money is kind of spoken for, the $222 million that's left over from that is spoken for. So it has strings attached, and you can only use this money for, let's say, social services. You can't use it to fix a road. So in the multi-year outlook, we are going to have some shortfalls that are really concerning us. And outside of this year, starting with next year, we're anticipating a $2.4 million shortfall, followed by a $3.7 million shortfall the next year, and the third year out, almost $6 million. So I want to talk about why Tuolumne County specifically has so many fiscal challenges. And I think the number one reason is because our county is 77 to 78% of our land is non-taxable. It's owned by either the federal government, state government, think about BLM, U.S. Forest Service, or even Columbia Park, that's state-owned. So this leaves us very little property to derive taxes from. And if you compare us to like Calaveras, Calaveras only has 21% of their land that's owned by state and federal government. Amador only has 24% of federal or state-owned property. So this is probably one of the biggest issues that causes us always to be looking at a deficit. And that's followed by the property tax we receive. BJ, you own your home, let's say, and let's say you pay $3,000 a year in property taxes. That $3,000 does not come back to Tuolumne County. 26% of that comes back to Tuolumne County, or $780. So I know that people say, I pay my taxes, but they've got to realize we don't get it all. And every county has a different piece of the property tax pie. Ours is one of the lowest. So those two things together, the federally owned lands and the piece of the pie that we get, a property tax, are major. Then the funding for the roads is another issue. And, you know, back in the day in the 80s and before, we used to get timber tax money for roads, and it was sufficient. And since then, we got some funding from the state, but it wasn't dedicated, so it didn't always get to us. And that happened for decades until SB1. And I think that was 2017, I believe. But, you know, SB1, finally, it's like too little too late. We've started getting gas tax money, but it's not enough. So, for example, we've got an $11.9 million budget for the roads, and we have 610 miles of county roads. So it costs, in order to repave a one-mile, let's say, two-lane road, it costs between $250,000 and $1 million to pave 1 mile. So at $11.9 million, you know, it's impossible at this point, unless we have other revenue that we can add to the roads. Followed by the sales tax. We've already talked a little bit about sales tax, but I want people to understand, let's say you buy $100 worth of merchandise in the county. So that's taxed at 7.25%. So $6 of that goes back to the state. Only $1 comes to the county, and 25 cents goes to the Regional Transportation Council. So if we were able to get Proposition Z passed, we would get another dollar. It wouldn't go, and no more money would go to the state. They'd still get $6. We'd get $2. And that would be huge. That would be a huge impact on our budget, where we could start doing things, I think, a little bit better. I just want to say, lastly, we receive TOT, which amounts to about $8.5 million a year. And that goes into the general fund, just like sales tax does. But remember, I told you it's $65 million for the general fund. Well, that $8.5 million that we get in TOT is part of that. So it's hard. Tell me how we're supposed to make ends meet with what I've just told you. The TOT is right now plugging holes in the deficient revenue, the revenue we're not getting. So I just want people to understand the picture here so that they can better make choices when it comes to deciding whether the county should get more sales tax or not.
You know, being on the board for 4 years, you know, Measure Z, do you see that as being kind of a fix for these financial challenges, or will there still have to be cuts and other things that are looked at down the road?
I think to be prudent, we don't need to spend all of that. I won't be on the board, okay? I just need to say that to begin with. But I think we need to be prudent. We don't need to be spending it all on salaries. We need to be spending it on things that will grow our economy. And the board has talked about different projects they'd like to see, you know, energy projects and so forth. And we do need to invest in that so that we're not relying on sales tax money only. But when you're subpar as far as the revenue that's coming in, all you can think about to begin with is just how you make ends meet to have a balanced budget.
You know, what would you say to people in the county who make the claim that the county hasn't been fiscally responsible over recent years?
I don't understand that. I really don't. We always balance our budget. We've put more money away than any other board in, I don't know how long, since in the 2000s. We have $5 million in reserves right now. I don't remember any board having money in reserves for the longest time. And I think we're going to be able this fiscal year that we close, that we finalize on our next board meeting on October 1st, we're going to put $500,000 more into reserves, and we're going to put more money into contingencies than we currently have. And we've invested in so many things. We've invested in equipment, like for the fire departments, because we had so many old fire engines. And we've invested $6 million in roads from the COVID money. We decided as a board to do that in order to move the PCI up, and we have done that. So I don't understand. I think it's easy to say because nobody wants to pay more taxes, and it's a good cop-out as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, we didn't have the kind of numbers of people coming to our town halls that I would like to see. So I don't know if people are just too busy or they don't care to know what our fiscal picture is and why. It's really, the why is really important. But we all need to take responsibility here to be able to fix this.
As you mentioned, you won't be in office next year. Your term is, right, is at the end of the year, but you're still a Tuolumne County resident with a vested interest in, right, Tuolumne County's future. So if Measure Z does not pass, what are your concerns on the horizon for future boards and just the county in general?
Well, my concerns are for the constituency because they're going to see huge cuts. They're going to see services that they thought were, you know, just solid, that they'll be cut and they won't get what they expect. And they say, you know, they continue to say, I pay my taxes, I should get X service or Y service. But that's just not, we can't keep doing that. So they'll see definite changes in how we do things and because the revenue is just not there.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We are talking about Tuolumne County government on this weekend's Motherload Views, a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors about issues facing their specific district and the county as a whole. Today we're talking with District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half. Supervisor Half, you've got a few months left in office before your term ends at the end of the year. What are some of the things still on your bucket list you'd like to accomplish?
Yeah, I've got a few. You know, we've got dwindling months to get them done, so hopefully. The first one is something that has recently happened at the board meeting. I put in a request with the other board members just this last meeting on the 24th of September to discuss whether we can make having a noise ordinance a priority. In the past, when we've done our workshops in January, it's never risen to the level where we've made it a priority. And I'm asking the board, or I did ask, that, you know, one of my last wishes is to get one. It's something that every board member deals with every single year. No supervisor is left out of trying to deal with problems that are caused by not having a noise ordinance. So, and I think we're one of the few counties that still doesn't have one. So I think it's high time to be corrected. I had a couple of elderly people in my district, in different parts of my district, that one ended up going to the hospital as a result of the noise and the stress it caused him at night. And I've got another one more recently who is having health problems as a result. Well, we've got to just stop this and we've got to enact something. So the board did agree that we need to hear it as a full board. So it's going to come back to the board after County Council has had a chance to talk to all the different departments that would be dealing with the noise ordinance, whether it was the Sheriff's Department or Animal Control or possibly Code Compliance or the DA. So they've got to coordinate and then come back to us. We're asking for something simple, maybe along the lines of what Calaveras already has. We do share a lake in common, at least one, if not two, with Calaveras County. So it makes sense to do something similar. And I'm hoping that it will come back before I leave so we can, you know, discuss it. And there is a process. It probably won't get wrapped up until after I'm out of office, but I hope to be able to hear it either in November or December at the latest. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to buttoning up the short-term rental ordinance that we've been working on. We've got a public hearing before us, and I think that will happen before I leave office. And also big for me is the airport study that has taken years to get done. It's a huge study that will, I'm hoping it will show how best to use our two airports for economic benefit. And, you know, there have been board members that feel like, well, why do we need two airports and so forth? And I see it as a huge, if it can be done right, I see it as a huge economic benefit for the county to have both of these. And I'm very excited to see what the feasibility study says, and that's coming up pretty soon. So looking forward to that. And just generally speaking, I'm just hoping that I am able to leave the county and better shape than when I took office in 2021.
You know, talk about water cooler issues. Literally, before you came in this morning at our water cooler in the station, people were talking about the noise ordinance that the county was looking at. One of the questions that came up was, for like a noise ordinance, is a county like looking at like things during the daytime hours, or would it just be kind of an overnight type hour thing?
It would be, you know, depending on how it's written, it could be any time of the day or night, depending on, I think we need to get somewhat specific, you know, because I don't want to impact industrial zones that are zoned for that, but there should be, I think, some sort of decibel level even with that. But it shouldn't be too onerous because they are an industrial area. But in neighborhoods, we don't want to hear guns going off in the middle of the night. In Twain Hart or Groveland, they have a lot of short-term rentals, Airbnbs, and on many occasions they try to stuff 20 people into a two-bedroom house, and they're partying and, you know, music loud, and they're outside, they're inside, they're making a lot of noise, keeping the neighborhood awake, barking dogs, you name it. We've got ATVs running at all times of the day and night. So, you know, it will make sense. It won't, I don't think we're going to try to do anything out of the ordinary and just get something on the books.
You know, looking back at the last 4 years and your term in office as a board of supervisor, you know, what kind of stands out as kind of the, some of the highlights?
Well, broadband, number one. You know, I campaigned on that, and I've told you in past sessions where we've gotten together that I was part of making SB 156 happen with the state, and that gave us our middle mile projects, and then we've got the final mile projects with broadband from the federal government. And just recently, we've done something in Tuolumne County that I'm very proud of, and that is that we have done an EIR, an environmental impact report, for the entire county for broadband. That's on the road right-of-ways, on the county road right-of-ways. So we are making it very easy for an internet service provider to do a project, because they don't have to apply for the project, do the permitting, and then wait for the EIR to be done. It's already done. So I feel very ecstatic about that. One thing that I am proud of is our housing collaborative. Now, that's the group of us that have gotten together, and it's not county specific. I mean, it's not just county people. It's county, city, tribe, nonprofit, for-profit, all hands on deck for the to move housing forward in the county. And in the couple of years that we have done these meetings, we've had two really big outcomes. One is that we in the county were able to get a housing specialist who has been just awesome as far as getting things kind of neatly put in a row, and working with contractors and developers to make things a little bit easier for anybody who's applying for a permit. That we have the open.gov system now, the online permitting system that allows people from the outside that have put projects in to see where their project is, and also people on the inside in CDD to see, you know, who's next up to approve the process. And then the other thing that just happened as far as the housing collaborative is concerned, we had one session of meeting on infrastructure, because if you want to really be able to develop, let's say, more housing than just infill, one house here, one house there, where there's no, you know, there's an empty lot, you have to have infrastructure. You have to have water, sewer, those kinds of things. So the county was able to help Jamestown Sanitary District get a huge grant. It's called the REAP grant, and don't ask me what REAP stands for, but it's for infrastructure that will help them. And, you know, that part of the county is the part that we are most able to build out on in certain areas. It's not a high fire district, and it's flatter, and it's going to be easier to build. So those are two great outcomes from the housing collaborative. One thing that I'm personally proud of is that I worked with our senator and requested and received $155,000a year or two ago to pay for a 20-acre parcel that was owned by Caltrans. It was left over, and we had to pay fair market value. We didn't have that money, but we got it to pay for that, and that will eventually, hopefully, be used for a housing project as well. Another thing that is helps lend to a quality of life, just like the noise ordinance does, is we only had one code compliance officer up until this board took office, and we deemed it necessary to have three in order to get to all parts of the county and start cleaning it up, you know, problems with, you know, what have you. And I think that's been a big boon to our county. Then we enacted the Hazardous Vegetation Management Ordinance. You know, we're doing all this work in the forest with the CERL projects, and that's all really great. And I'm sure some of your other supervisors are going to talk about that. I want to talk about the Hazardous Vegetation Management Program because that's going to help protect the private property and make it harder for any fire to really take off. So I'm very proud of that. And then I'm also proud of the fact that we put, I think it was over $6 million in funding to fix the roads, and we just talked about that. And that brought our pavement condition index up overall. Then something that I've been working on with Amanda Fallendorf from Calaveras County for the past 2 years is the USDA meat processing plant. We don't have one here, and the ranchers in the area have to go far and wide to, you know, process their animals. And this will be something that will help with our food security here in the county. And we all saw what happened with food security during COVID. So we've been working on that for 2 years, and we're working with the UC Extension, the Farm Advisor Group, to help us. And I'm also excited to say that we're getting a local guy, Dan, I'm trying to remember his last name, I'm sorry. He's going to come back to Tuolumne County. He's the livestock advisor for another county further up north, and he's going to come back and be our livestock advisor in this project, and it's going to be great.
Going to have to end it on that note. We've run out of time, unfortunately, unless there's one more thing you want to talk about real quickly.
Just one more thing. It's very quick. And I know it's controversial, but it's something I'm proud of, and it was navigating through the COVID era. I think that I and one other supervisor provided leadership in the face of non-constitutional mandates from the state and federal governments.
Well, we're going to end on that note. Supervisor Half, thank you so much for coming in. It's been good talking with you, and we'll talk to you down the road, your final few months here as supervisor.
Thank you.
Again, we thank Kathleen Half for joining us on Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.